The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
It is time for Second Shot with George Dunn and Devin Newsom. Second Shot, 2.5 shots.
Hi, it's me, the man with the plan, the George Dunn man. I'm here joined today by my co-host.
Devin Newsom. Yes. And yeah. Hi.
Oh, hi. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, George?
I'm wonderful.
Welcome back to your house.
Thank you.
Been holding down the fort for you.
I definitely haven't been here, basically not leaving my house for 2 weeks.
You definitely haven't.
It shows on my face.
Theater of the mind.
Oh, theater.
Yeah, theater. That's a good transition to what we're talking about today. We have a big old theater
expert.
That was a nice choice. Could have said nerd.
I was going to say nerd.
I saw it in your face.
Yeah, it was like on the tip of my tongue.
I don't like fake nerd girls, okay?
Oh. This is so genuine. What I feel for theater is so pure. I don't please insult it in my presence or undermine or belittle.
Theater's for nerds, dude. Let's
come over.
But only like lame nerds? Not cool nerds like us.
Nope. How about nah? Shutting it down.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
It's good. Yeah, you know, I have a feeling I'm going to be defending myself and the things that I love today. But
welcome to the Second Shot Puck.
Yeah. I'm ready. I feel.
I've been on the opposite end of the gun for this with the Green Lantern episode, so I know how it feels.
That's okay, George.
It hurts. It hurts a lot.
It can get pretty personal sometimes. Like,
I can't believe I agreed to go to Cedar Point with Pat after what he did to me.
Oh my gosh!
Will friendships be tested?
Well, they might be.
Oh my gosh!
They will be tested, and they will either be passed or failed.
Crushed, right?
Yeah.
They're either going to be friendship positive or friendship negative.
Right.
I mean, that's friendship. One of the questions on the test, but
friendship, positive or negative?
Yeah. Are you positive or are you negative?
For friendship?
Mm-hmm. Well, according to this play we just watched, which is about friendship,
I would assert that it is actually a buddy comedy.
Yeah, like Lethal Weapon.
Just like Lethal Weapon.
It's like Lethal Weapon in Britain.
Yes.
I thought it was, this was the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie.
Yes. Produced by Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I thought we were watching the whole time.
Who thought that was a good idea?
It'll be better than Suicide Squad.
Yeah, but that's literally nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, it's better than watching a guy take a shit for an hour and a half. Oh. Like.
It'll be good. It'll be good. It's Joaquin Phoenix.
Right. I have I have nothing but faith in Joaquin Phoenix. I have nothing but the lack of faith in DC right now.
Yeah.
But we're not
That's what real nerds talk about, Lisa. Not theater nerds. Fake nerds.
You know not to whom you speak.
Oh, God. She's like our audience. It's ha, 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 ha. They try so hard.
Do your dear gentle listeners know what we watched today?
Yes, we watched Sweeney Todd.
Weenie Todd.
The tale of the demon barber of Fleet.
Street. Nice, you waited two beats. I'm really impressed at yourself for Street.
Thank you.
We didn't just watch a film or a work of cinema, did we though, George?
We didn't watch the Tim Burton one, which was when you suggested it, the one I thought you were going to talk about.
Dear gentle child.
And then you specifically said, not that Tim Burton one.
Very specifically that.
No.
We watched the 1982 stage play version with Angela Lansbury.
The original Broadway production.
Yes.
Yes, that was in New York for many years.
So Lisa, what is your, what's your history with specifically this stage play, and then I guess overall Sweeney Todd?
I'm so glad you asked. No one ever asks. And it's just something I'm itching to talk about.
I don't
about.
Think anyone's ever asked anyone that question.
That's why this is my moment. Spotlight? Is that you? Yes, it's me. I'm listening. Sweeney Todd is really important for me. I've always grown up loving musical theater. My mom was a theater major, and I grew up listening to soundtracks because that's what we had in our house.
That explains it.
That explains a lot. It's a big part of my childhood and what was comforting to me, and I love it as a vehicle for storytelling. That's what I love about theater. That's what I love about cinema or books or just stories.
Stories.
And I think that's what a lot of us love, and something that brings us all together in the bonds of friendship. I'm going to bring it back to that every moment that I can. Sweeney Todd was an early favorite. Both my parents liked this one. My dad doesn't like anything, and he likes Sweeney Todd. He does not like
this. This is a dad's show.
A little bit. We can
welcome to the dad's corner. Second Shot Podcast.
Can we have a dad's violence. Corner? And it's just like everyone's sitting quietly.
Yeah, let me pull up Kyle's song real quick, and then we'll have a dad's corner.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
But you guys keep talking.
All about that dad life.
Dad life.
You guys keep talking about Sweeney Todd, and then we'll get the...
Oh, yeah, okay, so we'll like, get that little sound
what
bite.
What does he like? Like, is it just the violence, or no, does he no, literally no, legit likes the movie?
No, I think he just enjoyed the play. The song, both so. My, I think I mentioned this. Yeah. Both my parents individually saw this play before they met each other, which I always thought was cute.
What is?
And I would go
at
to the library.
Time?
No, not okay. the same day or anything, okay. but they both mentioned that they'd seen it on Broadway with the same
Still,
actors.
Still, that's rare.
They just pass each other every day, and they're like...
Oh, one day maybe she'll talk to me.
Serendipitous.
No, they met through a Jewish dating video group in New York City in the mid-1980s. It gets better.
Yeah. So I am obsessed with video dating.
They made videos.
That's incredible.
And that's how they met.
It's just like those video friends?
That's awesome.
They were video
that's
friends.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Tell me more about that.
Just for Jews.
It's the original
just
Tinder.
It's the original Tinder, but just for Jews. Well, we'll cycle back to that, but just that Sweeney was so important. And in middle school, I used to go to the library like all the time after school, and I would get this out on VHS right like every time I went, and I just memorized it. And I've seen so many different versions of the production. I like seeing how different actors interpret the characters because I think the characters are really rich of Sweeney and Mrs. Lovett, and I like the thing I like best about it is their sort of weird camaraderie and friendship, and I love that. You have to play up the goofy humor to me. Otherwise, it's too over the top. And if you just play it creepy, you're losing the richness of them not seeing themselves as creepy or bad.
It's too bombastic to play straight face.
Right. And that was... So I happen to love Tim Burton. And I grew up on Tim Burton. And I think if you look at my illustrations, you can see that influence a little bit. So I was over the moon when he was going to do Sweeney Todd. I really was. And I was really disappointed when he didn't cast singers, because I would assert that Sweeney Todd is more of an operetta than even a traditional musical. It is very singing-centric.
You gotta belt it. Like,
there's a lot of talk singing.
There, yes. And now I was curious, because I know you're a big fan of the movie. The
big fan might be...
Or a fan.
Yeah, I am a fan.
You accept the movie.
Well, okay. My,
oh, go ahead.
No, I'm a big fan of Tim Burton. Mm-hmm. Or I was a big fan of Tim Burton. I don't think many people can say they're a big fan of Tim Burton in 2018 because he hasn't made anything
it's hard
since Sweeney Todd. I think Sweeney Todd is the last like watchable movie he's
it's
made.
Kind of a watershed moment where things sort of fell apart.
Yeah, and then like even while watching Sweeney Todd, having never seen like any other version of it, I feel like I just felt like I'm like this is good because it's based on something that's good. Like he's just following the numbers of the beats that work,
right?
And like it's kind of hard to fuck it up.
Right.
What has he done since then? Like he did
the Mrs. Pettigrew's Home for Peculiar Children. I heard Big Eyes was okay.
Actually, I did like Big Eyes
because it's the same writers as Ed Wood, and I love Ed Wood.
That makes sense.
We can do the one with Frank the dead
and
dog. Yeah,
Frank and Weenie. I heard Frank and Weenie was fine. Yeah, I like I like stop motion.
I also love stop motion.
Yeah,
animation.
It's probably my favorite animation or style of animation.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Shadows.
Oh yeah.
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
He's just become a Disney shill. He's got Dumbo coming out this year.
It was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory after.
That was before that.
That was before this. Okay.
And I guess what was so great about Tim Burton when we first discovered him as like adolescence was that it was so twisted and dark and kind of not the mainstream. And now it's become so mainstream that it really feels.
Yeah, and his stuff always had like a real tongue-in-cheek aspect to it.
Right.
Like,
there was a... You're right.
Yeah, it was always very like... Even the big bombastic gothic stuff that tried insisted on taking itself seriously.
Yeah,
was still very, very funny,
self-reflexive.
Goofy.
It knew what it was, yeah. And it knew when it was trying too hard. But yeah, it got a little too on the nose later, mm-hmm. and lost.
And then he just became lazy and just cast Johnny Depp and everything.
I was disappointed in that choice. I was like, you know, he's going to cast Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter, and I like them. I think they're great actors. They've both done things that I've just loved, and I loved how they looked, and I liked their costumes. But I didn't think they actually brought enough to those roles.
If you could cast for the movie.
Oh, no. What? Dream casting? I never considered
dream cast
that.
For Sweeney Todd and gosh. Mrs.
She's pulling
Lovett.
Out a list of paper.
What's this?
It's very long. It's like
my
Santa's
scroll?
Christmas list.
That's a great question. I might want to mull on that a little bit. It's like, who would I dream if they could sing brilliantly?
Yes.
God.
Sia.
Because I was thinking.
Sia.
Based off of the gentleman who played Sweeney Todd in what we watched.
Yes.
What was his name?
George Hearn.
George Hearn.
What did you think of him?
I thought he had a pretty good booming voice. Mm-hmm. He was a very good singer. I thought he was great.
Really? I'm just delighted.
I thought he was good.
I'm tickled that you even indulged me. I was like, I'm going to make two adult men watch musical theater this afternoon. And everyone said, oh, boy.
We're drinking wine at 2 a.m. watching Sweeney Todd.
Well, first of all, there was day drinking. And everyone likes that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but anybody who listens to this podcast knows if you bring me wine, I'm going to like what you give me.
Yes.
I was hoping to grease the wheel, so to speak.
A very good strategy.
Yes. What's this? A gift?
But I, watching him, it made me want to see, like, it was funny you mentioned that Severus dude or whatever before.
Severus?
Didn't you say something about somebody, the original?
Michael Severus.
Michael Severus, yeah.
Who I saw play Sweeney on Broadway maybe 8-10 years ago.
Okay.
With Patti LuPone.
Patti LuPone was the other one, yeah. And
they were great, too.
It's funny you said that because I wanted to see Alan Rickman.
I thought
as
you were
Sweeney
say that.
Todd, yeah.
But
well,
you know he was the
Alan
judge.
Alan Rickman was the judge in the movie. You see the movie?
I saw the movie once in college.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was played on the college movie.
What did you
channel.
Think of the movie?
Eh, I didn't hate it, but I wasn't like, it was just always on. So I just turned on the movie channel at OU and would just leave it on. But
yeah, it's one, because that was 07. So that was like right out of high school.
Was it 07?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how I've aged.
Yeah, it's over 10 years old.
Oh, I used to be so young.
My hands.
Look at
so
my hands.
It's like looking at that shot in Titanic where she just looks
at
her hands.
Yeah, all of a sudden, aged.
It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
Been a while since we did that song on this fucking podcast.
Can we just sing the rest of the episode?
That was my hope, that this would suddenly become an improvised musical episode.
So Lisa...
Yes,
what's your
George?
Favorite part about Sweeney Todd?
Why is it like a happy musical? We just watched something dark.
We're watching Rent. Uh-oh. We're singing Rent.
526,300 fucking
moments.
This is the podcast of Georgie Dunn. The show
is
weird,
the story
but the guests
of a podcast
are fun.
Who cried a river and drowned Sweeney Todd. In its house of magical knickknacks and sings about life when he cries.
Oh, this is a really beautiful moment. I wish everyone else could see what I'm seeing
cute.
Right now.
That was really cute.
Thank you. I try really hard.
You did a great job. But I think one of the reasons they did the movie as the musical version of Sweeney Todd was that because it adds so much to it. The movie, they could have made it not a musical, but they chose to do it. This production,
yeah.
I think the music is one of the best parts. I always say the thing about a musical, it's the story, and the music is like a gift you get to take with you after to keep enjoying.
There's a lot to
that's
dissect.
That's what you can play in your car.
So there's a lot
and
of
I
very
do.
There's a lot of very, like, fast lyrics. Like, I feel like I would have to watch it a bunch of time to catch everything.
And I think one of the comments I remember Helena Bonham Carter saying when she did the role with Mrs. Lovett was, when do you breathe? Like, it's very it's very quick. And Sondheim's lyrics are so quick and so witty and so clever. He's so brilliant. And it's so layered. And the way certain reprisals hit and you associate certain songs with certain characters. And then when they refer to similar themes, that same sound will come up. Those are some of the things I love about I love about theater.
Well, I think that's one of the benefits of the movie is like the back and forth, like the singing back and forth, especially like with Sweeney Todd and Miss Lovett. you kind of get a better understanding of what they're saying, what they're feeling. And it's all like, it's all very obvious and big. Like, mm-hmm. that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
But some of the things like get lost in the stage play in terms of what they're saying.
Oh, because
they're singing on top of each other. Whereas like cutting back and forth, you kind of get a little bit, or at least I got a little bit more of the understanding of what they're saying.
Sure.
So because you've seen it so many times, you probably understand.
I know
it,
all the words.
But like if you're just sitting there and watching it, they're just kind of like talking over each other, which is, you know, fine. It works in the song, but sometimes understanding the dialogue is a bit difficult.
So are you saying for the movie they changed some of the score so that there wasn't that overlapping harmonies and they broke up the song so that it was more back and forth?
They mixed it better. I think it's just like... Cause,
well, sure, because they had the power to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's like stage play versus movies.
Of course, there's certain things you just can't... Of course, there are things in the movie that you can do that are magic that
like,
you can't do.
Like have a boat in water.
Yeah, instead of them just gently pulling a boat awkwardly across the stage.
But it's still a CG boat in the movie, so it doesn't matter.
But yeah, I know what you mean. There's certainly... There were things I really liked about the movie, too. But for me, this was the version I grew up with. This was the version that really... For me, the thing that gets me about this story and why I like it so much is that it really challenges your idea of who is good and who is bad, because it's all about justice. And the bad guys, the people who are killing people, are the main characters, and you end up, they're endearing. Like, you end up liking them and rooting for them. And it's the judge who represents law and order who's the really bad guy. Mm-hmm. And that was something I remember being young and being like, whoa.
Well, it's the protagonist is the sailor boy. You know, like, he's the only truly good person.
He's the only truly good person.
And Joanna, who, you know, does nothing wrong, but she has no autonomy over anything.
Exactly.
But that is the big gripe I had with the stage play that I think the movie fixed, at least in a small sense, like just peppered in there, was it gave a closure to their story. In the movie, it ends on those two together.
Right.
Like, they're kind of, like, over... the corpse of Todd and Miss Sweeney, and
Mrs.
they just kind
Lovett.
Of Miss yeah Mrs. Lovett sorry Mrs. Sweeney.
she wanted to be.
That's true, but they have some closure, even if it's just like a small amount. You don't know what happens to them. You don't know what they do.
Right. To me, those characters are really secondary. Like you said, he's the protagonist. I'm like, oh, I see Sweeney as the protagonist. Sweeney and Mrs. Lovett. But that's, like you said, maybe the movie played up that story a little more.
That's the point, is he's not, like, even in this, I don't think he's the protagonist. I think he's he's the main character, and he's the one we're supposed to see the story through, but he's not the hero of the story.
I see him as the hero.
Yeah?
He achieves his goal in the end. When he kills the judge, I feel great.
But, I mean, if a bad guy achieved his goal, it doesn't make him the hero. Like, I mean...
Well,
like,
that's the question I'm posing.
Yeah, no, and it's great. It's a great moral complexity that they add to the story, which is fun.
Because they touch on it a little bit at the beginning when they're in the boat about how... sailor dude is so just like optimistic about everything, and he's just so happy, and Sweeney's like, you will learn. And he's like, you will
call back. Well done.
You will have life beat you down until
and he's not bitter yet.
Yeah, until you're bitter and compromise your morals to like feel better about things where you've been wronged in the past. But then as you see, Sweeney goes too far, and he lets his grudges get the best of it.
It's a story about revenge. Ultimately, that's really what it's about. An obsession.
Yeah.
He is obsessed with the judge and getting revenge. And Mrs. Lovett is obsessed with him and being married and having a successful business and you know, making money.
Yeah.
So
there really
they're driven by obsessions.
Yeah. It's following bad people with some undercooked good people.
Undercooked.
Pun not intended, but I'll take it.
Sorry. But
you should be.
This was a play. There was no play like this before. When this came out, like, there had never been a show like this that dealt with this kind of subject matter. And they have an entire song devoted to making puns about cannibalism.
That was awesome.
That is awesome.
Like when George said peppered earlier, like, I had to hold back saying shepherd's pie
peppered
with
actual shepherd on top.
That was awesome. That was a great line.
Don't ever take my puns like that again, Devin.
Oh, I hope
you will be off this podcast and in a meat pie as soon as
puns however I want to, George.
Have any of you ever had a meat pie?
I have.
Have
not.
You? Mm-hmm. I've never had a meat pie. What is it like?
Yeah.
Just.
I've had like shepherd's pie. Does that count?
It counts.
Yeah.
I think.
I always see like meat pies being eaten.
But these are like meat pies with like crust and like
it looks
meaty
like a little calzone.
Gravy have, like, on the inside. It's almost like an empanada.
Yeah, okay. The way they had them and they looked like those Uncrustables. The Smucker's Uncrustables.
Now you're speaking my language.
I think when I saw this production recently done here in Cleveland, they were using Uncrustables.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm like 100% sure.
Just stale Uncrustables. Yes. <touch. laughs> Stale Uncrustables, by the way, is my new pop punk band.
Ooh.
We're working on a new album, Peanut Butter.
Is it a crust punk Uncrustable band?
No, there's no crust.
How can it be no crust and crust punk?
It's pop punk.
Oh, my God.
Wait, did you say pop punk?
Punk of butter and jelly. We're doing it, guys.
Do it.
The five-star quality of the Second Shot podcast.
I'm hungry for some peanut butter and jelly now.
PB&J.
I do have some crunchy peanut butter if you guys want some later. I think I have some jelly too.
We'll see. We'll see how the night plays out.
Still got to finish that pizza.
So Devin, what is your like history with this? I know you said you saw the movie once.
That's
is that it?
That's basically my entire history. I knew that the movie wasn't the original. And I just was like, oh, that's a pretty rad story. Just a barber just like cuts people's throats. Like it reminded me of like I used to be a huge Courage the Cowardly Dog fan.
Heck yeah.
Do you remember the Freaky Fred episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what that one has really stayed with me.
It is so spooky.
It's
the dude with the like flowy blonde hair comes over. He's really creepy, has the big smile, and he's like he gets out of jail and he comes up on the farm and he can't help but being very naughty.
Naughty, that's the word. I was like, what's the word he says?
Yeah. It sounds familiar. I can't remember.
And basically he's like he's like a barber too that like kills people, isn't he? Wasn't he under the guise of like being a barber?
Oh,
and he ends up like shaving Courage
but
clean.
If that's true, that's absolutely a
it's
reference.
Totally yeah, yeah. A reference. When I saw that, I was like, oh, that's probably what that Courage the Cowardly Dog episode was referring to.
You view life through the prism of Courage the Cowardly Dog.
I do. That's there a fucking amazing show. That's a fucking amazing show. But yeah, that's basically my history, and I thought it was cool that it was just like a cool, like kind of interesting thing to see a musical that was like dark and about like murder.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah, and I always liked the chair.
Yeah, the chair that actually opens up and they fall down the chute. And
which the stage show, like that when the judge got killed, like that old man had to be pretty limber to just get like tossed down there.
It occurred to me, I was like, he must be like, God damn it, every time they like pull the switch and he's like, my back.
I'm so old. That's my old man voice.
But yeah, other than that, just Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of people, though, is like a lot of their experience with Sweeney Todd is the movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think I even have it on Blu-ray. Because it's been like at least 5 years since I've watched it.
Mm. You recalled it very easily, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, impressed. Beat for beat, I knew the movie and the music. Because I like, when it first came out, I was really into the music. Like, I listened to Epiphany a lot because it was cool and edgy. And
it is cool.
I was 18.
And you're angry. Yeah. And so is Sweeney.
And I said shit in it.
He does. He
I thought
just
you didn't
cuts.
Like the swearing.
I don't like swearing, but it
There's
was cool.
A hole in the world
when I was 18, it was cool.
Filled with people who are filled with shit. And the vermin of the world inhabit it.
Yes. Do it all. But do the whole stage show.
Joanna.
Oh, Devin, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
I know I've struggled a lot with most folks know the movie and they've never seen the stage production, which happens a lot. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my friends were not fond of the movie and say, oh, I don't like that story. I don't like Sweeney Todd. And I feel like I've had to fight for it and say, no, I think maybe you just didn't like that production or maybe it was that they didn't like the singing or I don't know what it was. But a lot of people got turned off and I was crushed because this was like my favorite thing. Mm. And so that's why I'm so defensive of Sweeney Todd.
I don't think the movie's all that different from what we watched, honestly. Like, I'm not saying it's like a good or a bad thing, and there's definitely like good aspects and bad aspects of each.
Sure, absolutely.
But in terms of story, you get it all. Like, I think honestly, the movie kind of cuts out some fat that doesn't really need to be there, especially the insane asylum stuff, and some just kind of unnecessary points in the songs.
I think
stuff.
It's a little watching the stage play now. It's the beginning is slow. Yeah. I'm always like I want to get to the part where we get to Epiphany and a little priest and the God that's good, because that's for me when they get cooking.
Yeah, because like the first two, I would say the first two acts of this story are pretty much beat for beat in the movie.
When you say acts, because there were only two acts on the show.
Oh, you're doing that.
There was an intermission.
Yeah, well, up until probably, honestly, up until
theater nerds.
I think the way they get Joanna back to the house is different in the movie, but I can't remember how.
Yeah.
I think it's just explained off screen. But other than that, I think it's pretty much the same movie or same story.
For me, I found the performances a little flat.
That's entirely fair because, oh boy, Johnny Depp has
not tried.
Oh boy,
Johnny Depp. Like, I just don't think he brought the richness, the depth, the power, the anger. And then to balance that anger with this weird, charming, fun side of him that plays the games with Mrs. Lovett and has this fun friendship with her that makes them so endearing and makes the character so complex. For me, the movie really lacked, and I said buddy comedy earlier like as a joke, but it actually sort of, my favorite part of this show is their relationship.
Yeah, because they don't seem like friends in the movie.
They don't. And
it seems like he's, like they're both manipulating each other.
Right. And there was a different take on it. But for me, just playing them creepy doesn't do justice.
Yeah. No, I wholeheartedly agree with that. Like, because I will say, I don't know if I, like, there's a difference between stage acting and
of
screen
course.
Acting.
So they had to over.
So, yeah, like his, George, what's his name?
George Hearn.
His voice is incredible. It's great. I think for stage acting on camera, it's a little weird. It feels very, like just aesthetically, it felt like an old Doctor Who episode. I keep bringing up Doctor Who. It's good, that's a good thing.
Okay.
Because I do like that.
Okay.
But there is like kind of a hokiness to it.
Well, there,
that is not.
Well, think they're playing to the people in the last row.
Right.
You know, it's just a totally different ideology behind the performance.
And then Johnny Depp's playing to
the camera.
Like he's not only playing to the camera, but he's playing to the, you know, like half of the front row.
Right, and which
he's
is
barely trying,
which is great because he gets to be subtler in a way that this actor doesn't get to be,
which is fine.
Yeah,
I prefer the stage guy over Johnny Depp any day.
For me, it was the songs. Like when I listened to the songs in the movie, I was really disappointed, and I missed the humor. For me, there are these big laugh lines in the stage production where I wait for them, and then I slap my knee and I enjoy the heck out of them. I watched the movie and I was like, "Oh,
slap your knee a lot."
I do. I'm a little hokey. Please don't tell anyone. And I remember just waiting for those lines, and I would hear them, and they would just get swallowed up, and because they weren't playing it with any of that humor, which was their choice, but I disagreed with that choice.
Yeah, I mean, that's the weird thing is like Tim Burton is a funny director. I mean, he made fucking Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Like that movie's hilarious.
Yeah.
He knows comedy.
Yeah,
and then like the comedy in that movie is mostly Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, it's
stuff.
Pirelli.
Yeah, and like a little bit of like I think. By the Sea, that song.
Yeah, that's like that. You're rare, but you need in something this dark. You need those moments of reprieve to just go, ha ha, okay.
Yeah, and like
we're
Johnny Depp
okay
is
here.
Kind of like, yeah, whatever. While
yeah,
he's
that
saying, like,
that's
big,
funny.
Like,
can get caught up in all the.
And I did
upness.
Like how they were able to shoot that, and like they take them to the beach because it's the movie.
But they're still all
that.
Gray and everything around these colors.
Yeah,
and,
no, that I really enjoyed.
Yeah. I like it. I was going to say, but there's something I was going to ask and I forgot now.
Oh.
I don't know.
That's okay. Is this, what are other musicals you've seen? How did this compare? How did you feel watching a musical with your afternoon today?
I'm fine with musicals. Like, I've gone to see a couple of them at Playhouse Square.
Anything memorable?
I really enjoyed The Book of Mormon.
Heck yeah.
It's real good. As well as Spamalot.
Spamalot's fun.
What else? I don't know. It's been a while. I watch them also on TV sometimes.
It's been a while.
I grew up like in Greece and a whole bunch of other stuff. But
there you go.
I don't know. I had no problem watching a musical today.
Yeah.
It's fine. Although I did not like Joanna's singing.
Yeah, she's a little shrill.
It's a lot much.
She's like an opera singer, though.
Yeah.
Well, and that was it. That's what I was going to bring up was like, so when I first, not when I first saw Sweeney Todd, but like a few years later, I was dating a girl who was an opera major.
Wow, Sally.
And I don't like opera. I don't get it at all.
Did you tell her that?
Yeah, she knew. Okay. I mean, it wasn't like it was some secret. Like, yes, and we watched it, and she would just like poo-poo everybody. Like, it was all like, fuck Phantom, fuck this and that. Like, it's not true opera. I'm like, okay, well, we're just not going to watch anything because like we're watching Sweeney Todd, and she's like, her voice is like good. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty grating. She's like, yeah, but no, that's like what you're supposed to do. I'm like, I don't care. It doesn't feel good in my ears.
Yeah,
like,
no. I feel that.
So like that, hearing that kind of stuff is just like a bit much for me now. Like I can't. It's annoying.
That's okay. And she, like, yeah, like I said, my favorite characters are Sweeney and Mrs. Lovett. I don't love... I've seen other productions of Joanna where I like her more. She doesn't play it up so much. Mm-hmm. And it's not so operatic and shrill. But that, to a point I was mentioning earlier, so I'm a little bit academic. I took a class of History of American Musical Theater in college, which is adorable.
We got a nerd alert here, guys.
Oh,
so now she's a nerd.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I see that you're threatened by my knowledge of the genre.
It's a little intimidating.
So basically, how we get here is in Europe, they had the opera. Okay. And America didn't have its own thing. Opera was a little too formal. They didn't want to do opera. And musicals started as just being these strings of different songs with no story that tied them together. They were just theatrics and, you know, panache, just to... spectacle. It was pure spectacle, had no story. Rodgers and Hammerstein come along. They're the first ones to really take it and say, let's use this as a vehicle to tell a story in a way that no one's ever done before. It's not an opera. It has spoken word. It has songs, but the songs make sense. They come at a moment when the character is feeling something intense. So they were the ones who really changed that. Roger Hammerstein ended up mentoring Stephen Sondheim.
Oh.
Who takes the musical to the next level, I would assert, and starts telling really unique stories and using the apparatus of the musical to like really drive those narratives.
Hmm. Yeah, Stephen Sondheim was a big part of that episode of South Park. Because he did Wicked as well, right?
You're speaking of Stephen Schwartz.
That's who I was thinking of. I definitely was singing that name. I don't know any of it. Did Roger and Hammerstein do Oklahoma?
They did.
Okay. I know that one.
Well done, Georgie.
Thank you.
Who did Urinetown? I like Urinetown.
Urinetown is amazing. And that's somebody else. Or
who
two
did
guys
Avenue like... Q? Yeah.
These are fun ones.
This is a test. This is the friendship test. If you know everything about...
I know those musicals inside and out.
You're off the show if you don't
know.
Oh,
goodbye. Them. Okay. I can see myself out.
This is our musical podcast called Second Musical.
Second Act.
It's just called Second Shot.
Act. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
There you go.
We used to have Hamilton as the beginning.
We did.
Not anymore.
We haven't seen Hamilton, though.
I still haven't
seen Hamilton.
You saw it?
Yeah, did you see it when it was here?
What? Who, me? Shucks.
Oh,
yes.
I'm so
I saw Hamilton, I think, last week at Playhouse Square.
Nice. I wanted to go. My old boss was like, yeah, I got two tickets for my wife for her birthday. He's like, yeah, I wanted to go, but it was too expensive. He's like, yeah, it's only like $600.
Whoa,
like, I wish I could just say it was
only
$600. Like, no, I have a friend who's a member, and she was very kind, and she offered me one of
hers.
That's awesome.
And I lived my dream. I quietly rapped along the whole time.
Yeah, like you can't.
Hamilton for me was how I like started liking rap.
Oh my god! I never even thought of that effect. Like, oh my gosh! Like,
well, the way I
can just imagine you like
gaps.
Rapping, but like having like robot hands.
I do a lot. Oh, has Kyle ever? I do a lot of hands, and I'm not allowed. He's told me I went to a show and I'm not allowed. But I do a lot of wiggity wiggity whats, and I've been told not to.
It's understandable.
I'll say do whatever. Whatever you want.
But no, and something I like about Hamilton is it brought a lot of people to theater and to Broadway who did not think of themselves as people who like musicals theater. And for me, who already liked musicals and theater, it brought me to rap.
To rap.
Yeah.
So, Bridge that gap.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alexander.
I'm trying to think of like other rap musicals.
We are meant to be.
Are there any other rap musicals?
Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote before writing Hamilton, he wrote a musical called In the Heights that also features a fair amount of rap. Okay. But it's not exclusively rap.
What about Freaknik?
What's that?
I don't know.
It was a cartoon musical on Adult Swim where T-Pain played the spirit of Freaknik, which was an old music festival in Atlanta that would get real raunchy and real greasy.
Wow.
And but yeah, there's like a bunch of characters played by different rappers, and it's pretty cool.
What if Little Shop were rap?
It would be called Lil Shop of Horrors.
Lil?
Yeah.
L-I-L.
Yes. I was trying to think of something Audrey 2 based, but I couldn't think of anything. What's your history of musicals, Devin? Like, other than, like, you said, other than musicals are cool.
like, Grease growing up. Like, I watched Grease a bajillion times. And I guess the dance.
Grease lightning. Bring it down to the corner, man. Grease lightning. Go, Grease lightning.
That's where I first learned the word pussy. Yeah. Which in
some versions they bleep out.
Sweeney Todd taught you the word muff.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that word has come up a lot in my life. I don't know why.
I think we should just start a podcast on how musicals have become our sexual awakenings.
There is a musical called Spring Awakening that is all about that.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm down.
Joseph is an amazing colored dream coat. I definitely didn't slur that
at all. Just a little.
And then, like, I feel like all the Disney movies growing up were all kind of musicals.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but not, like, operas.
Legit.
No, yeah. But I mean, it doesn't have to be an opera to be a musical.
That's my history. I've always been, like, a musical person, like, growing up. Like,
Hercules.
I've been in different singing groups and bands throughout grade school.
Yeah, you were in that doo-wop group for a long time. Yeah.
Is that true, Devin?
I was not in a doo-wop.
George, don't do that to me.
I was in Olmsted Falls Middle School's singers, and we had to wear bow ties and cummerbunds.
No.
Hell yeah.
We were all in a line, and we did all kinds of cool
That's my favorite. Children in dress wear.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You look like you're in a little wedding.
like little waiters.
Running around. Little waiters who suck at singing.
Ooh, where would you like to sit?
Although I was never in choir, and I tried out, and I made it. I was never in choir. I just had natural
You didn't have to try out. You just
ability.
Gave it to you. I don't think
No,
it's
I did
true.
Try
I
out.
I think they were just desperate
I
for people.
I did try out. No, I was just, there was a lot of people that tried out, and
they
beat them all.
Whoa.
Yeah, and they're like,
see that kid?
They were blown away.
He doesn't even have to try out.
Nice. Yeah, like, they could just tell my vocal cords were immaculate.
The timbre of your chords.
That sweet, mm-hmm. soulful voice.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Watch out, world. Here comes Devin.
Joanna.
It's beautiful.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
My favorite part of that song is that.
That was just, you know.
That's probably the best part of it. It's like, Joanna.
I've gotten so much work out of them that they're a little injured. But yeah.
Tender infant chords.
Tender chords.
Oh, that's another podcast. Tender chords.
Tender chords.
All right. All right.
Wait, what about
George?
We
did this once before in Wilson's episode where we tried to do a harmony. Let's, three of us, one of us has to start. Okay. We're going to come up with the most tender three-note chord we can.
What are we saying?
Lisa, do you have any suggestions?
I haven't done this before. Fuck me.
So
it's just doing a harmony.
Just one, yeah, it's just a harmony.
Once again, a tale of love and friendship.
You can start it off with just one word, hold the note out, and then, George, do you want to step in second? And then I'll complete the chord.
Do it.
Since I have the best musical,
of course, obviously.
Ear,
you have the highest pitch too. So
yeah, I have the high. So
do
we're
you
starting.
Have the highest pitch?
I don't know.
I should know this, but I'm testing you guys. Are you supposed to start on the lowest?
Yeah, right. This is a test for you.
Yeah.
Obviously, this information is
there.
I'm asking this for you.
This is like.
I love musical theater, but I actually don't have a
because it's ba 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 ba.
This goes up.
Ba 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 ba. You go up. Yeah. So she starts the lowest because she obviously has the most baritone of all of us.
You can also go lowest to highest to middle.
River.
Beautiful.
You can go lowest to highest to middle.
I guess.
As long as you hit the right note.
It's not fun, though.
No, I don't know if that works, actually, sonically. Anyway.
Let me hear everyone's falsetto. How high?
Joanna.
That was beautiful, George.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Joanna.
Oh, man. That was...
You're a better singer, but you ain't as high as me.
No, that's true.
No one's as high as you, George.
That's fucking...
Like a kite.
Yeah, dude. 420 every day, my dude.
Dude, bro.
My guy.
Pizza boy is pizza boy.
Yeah, I'm full of cheese pizza and beer.
All right, the phrase is pizza boy.
I don't even know how to sing that.
When did this become an improv show?
I don't know.
I'm really glad that this has made a transition into what I always knew it would become, a forum for improv and music and friendship.
Friendship.
I don't even know how to sing the
Impromptu
phrase pizza
friendship.
Boy.
I think we're going to skid into this thing.
Pizza boy.
That was a tender chord, you guys.
Yeah, that sounds like a Kanye backup vocal right there.
Ooh.
Pizza boy.
I enjoyed that.
That was good.
All right, I'm going to start one. Friendship.
That sounded mysterious.
Oh, we fucking nailed that.
So when do we start and where are we playing?
we got a book, a gig in Mayhall's Lanes.
For the longest time.
No two baritones. You can't have two baritones. Get out of here.
I gave my heart to be my bad. I was a dad to my mom.
George doesn't know how the song goes.
Was singing my song.
Why
tonight.
Are you getting Kermit-y?
I don't know.
I just like that we're exploring the genre. I really think this is what Sondheim intended.
Yes.
I really think we are, satisfied.
This is what Sweeney Todd does to people.
Just three friends riffing and jamming, having a good old doo-wop jam.
We're friendship positive.
We are.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys. This is so much more tender than I thought it was going to be.
We're friendship positive, and it's fatal.
Ooh. I got the bug.
That's
the
too
love
dark.
Bug.
That's too dark.
No, okay.
No, I didn't know what you said.
Okay. So that's too dark.
That's too dark.
I serve a dark and hungry God. So.
You served a dark and a hungry God.
Ooh, no. Bringing it back. Not for you, Devin.
That was because Lisa did it earlier and I remembered.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I love that it's macabre. Because I was that kid who loved Tim Burton and I loved musicals. And then I saw a show like this and I was like, oh, you can combine all these things and create a really interesting piece of theater. Like I said, I've seen this show done other ways and I love how they've modernized it. Like this one really, I was reading up on it last night because I wanted to see him articulate on the podcast. And the story of Penny Sweeney Todd first came out in a series of stories called Penny Dreadful, which you may have heard of stories like that. And in the Civil War era. So this is an early story, but it had all of the beats of the barber who kills people. And Sondheim saw this put on just as a stage play somewhere and said, this would make the weirdest, coolest musical. I'm going to do this.
Nice.
And that's how that happened. And after this, he does a lot of other weird, strange ones. For example, he has one called Assassins, which is about all of the would-be or successful presidential assassins in America.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it's all from their perspective. And it's weird because they're all villains in history, but to hear like why they did it and to see how broken things were and how what they wanted from America and how they were disappointed and how killing the president represented
it's
that.
It's a musical?
It is a musical, George Dunn.
So that wasn't a judgmental
And I'm excited
question.
Because you seemed interested in the story and it was a musical. And I would highly recommend Assassins.
That's my relationship with musicals has always been like, I don't give a shit about the music as long as the story's interesting. Mm-hmm. Music should always be secondary. And I think that's why like a lot of musicals I don't like are because they focus so much on the music.
Right. But this one's very story-driven.
Yeah, because it's a fun, interesting story. Right. Like, it's goofy, and it's, you know, like, bombastic, but, yeah. like, it works.
Yeah.
You know, and, like I don't like Grease, because I don't really like the story of Grease.
That's cool.
Because I don't care about a high school melodrama. Mm. Also, the music is just kind of whatever. But that's part, like, the Bee Gees song's great. But
well,
like,
that's okay. Grease is not my favorite.
The Bee Gees song?
It's the Bee Gees at the beginning.
No, it's not.
What do you mean?
Who is
Grease,
it?
It's Frankie the Valley. Word, it's the time. Is that the one you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Frankie Valley.
That's Frankie Valley? The Bee Gees are doing that version, though, in the movie.
No, it's Frankie Valley. Look it up.
Google.
All right.
Let's ask Google.
I always thought it was the Bee Gees.
Well, you're wrong.
Hey, Devin.
George.
What? Watch no, your, watch friendship. Your
Shut the fuck
Boys
up,
Boys, remember.
It's fucking Frankie Valley. All right?
The bonds of friendship that tied us.
Sherry
that?
Baby.
Those all tender right? chords.
Sherry Baby. Baby, we're friends again.
Oh,
we just
music brought you back together.
Yes,
it's just like I knew.
Never
I would
fails.
Love to create a specialized playlist for you, George, of musicals you would actually not hate.
I'm like I have nothing against musicals.
Yeah.
I think it's just like with like stage plays, I need to be there.
Of course,
and like because like even this.
It's not
like,
the same.
There's
it's
no
intended
energy,
to be viewed
but, yeah.
in the theater.
And I'm cool with musicals. I like them. I like Little Shop. I prefer the Frank Oz mm-hmm. movie.
Sure.
That's just because I like Rick Moranis. I like
oh,
Steve Martin.
Oh, that's an example. Like, there's only two examples where I like the movie more than the stage play that mm-hmm. I've seen. And Little Shop is one and Chicago is the other.
Well, and the special effects are so integral to
both
that movie.
Yeah, no, those are two instances where I agreed that was actually the right genre was to be a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other times where I'm like, oh, you're missing it if you're not seeing it as a play in the theater.
Yeah.
And like, that's the nature of the beast with these things.
I'm trying to think, because I saw Book of Mormon. Book of Mormon rules. I
yeah,
love Book
it's so
Mormon.
Fun.
It's
yeah, of course.
Very funny. The music's good.
Yes.
I couldn't remember a single song from that. Like, I saw Evil Dead the musical. It's whatever. I
yeah.
love Evil Dead, but I don't need a musical version of it.
I have not seen that.
Texas Chainsaw, like, just because I like horror movies. But like, Those are examples of I like the story, but you don't need to add music to
right.
it. And
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. And like that's just a matter of like adding sugar to an ice cream cone.
Ooh, it's already sweet.
Yeah, like you don't I guess you already said if it's not broke, don't fix it.
But I like that you wanted to perpetuate and slightly change the metaphor. just so you
be
could
better.
Say the point too.
I
wow.
need it to be better.
Okay, George.
That's my podcast.
Wow. Wow. Talk about
producers.
The producers?
Yeah.
You know what?
Producers.
I've seen the movie of the producers. I've never seen the stage play. I don't like. I appreciate the movie of the producers.
Mm-hmm.
The original one, not the Matthew Broderick
right.
movie.
Yeah. The Gene Wilder.
Nathan Lane.
Yeah.
Is it Zero Mostel? Gene Wilder in the original?
I don't know. I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Jews.
exactly.
I can say that.
That one, I need to rewatch the producers because I like when I first saw it, I was like, I don't really get this. Like, I know Springtime for Hitler, that's funny, you know, whatever. But that was coming off. I just seen like Blazing Saddles and stuff like that, which is way crazier.
Oh, I love Blazing Saddles.
Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I think it's the perfect satire.
It's a great film.
But you know, like musicals are rough just because I don't know. I have a weird love-hate relationship with them.
And that's fair. I think a lot of people do. But I always tell people that who don't like it that they just haven't seen the right one yet. I think a lot of people get exposed to musicals with Grease and they don't like Grease and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
And so I'm always like, if you would watch this one, tell me if it changes your perception. And sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's not for everybody.
Well, I think the music can be really goofy too, and I think that turns me off.
I love the music.
Well, I mean, it's a very specific aesthetic choice. Like,
right.
of stage musical
mm-hmm.
music,
mm-hmm.
Which can be a bit off-putting at times for me, because it's just a little, like, I think it's just my
right.
self-awareness, kind of like, oh, they're being really goofy for
mm-hmm.
no, like, they don't even know they're being goofy.
Right.
Like, Julie Andrews, like, dancing a lot.
Oh, Angela Lansbury.
Julie Andrews. I'm talking about Julie Andrews.
Oh, in which show?
I don't know.
Okay, yeah. There.
In Oklahoma?
That was a good guess, but wrong.
Forgot about loving sound
My
music
Fair Lady.
Growing up.
No, Sound of Music sucks.
I love Sound of Music growing up.
The movie sucks, at least. I don't know. Is there a stage play of that?
Of course.
Yes? Okay.
Sorry.
The movie doesn't need to be 3 hours long. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. It's just a very goofy kind of aesthetic. I'll leave you two to this one. I'm gonna step out for a minute.
Doe, a deer, a female deer, Ray, a drop of golden sun. Me, a name. Okay, we're like, George is like.
George is so mad.
Oh, he's mad. He's like, this is my show.
Mad.
This
I'm just
is
waiting
the George
for you to be finished.
Show.
I'm working out of your system.
Oh, okay. Devin and I are going to go write a musical right now.
Yeah, I'm going to go have a smoke while you guys sing.
Yeah. And we're going to go put it on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To,
and you're going to be sorry.
You're going to be real sorry you didn't invest in this horse when you had the chance.
Well,
That was a weird combined metaphor.
I'm going to have an EP credit on this anyway because you did it in my house.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even worked on it yet,
on
George.
On my podcast.
Audiences love this show that we'll write.
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's
called...
Yeah. Well, we talked about this extensively before we started recording, so...
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you guys had a whole conversation about it. Why just tell me the name?
Because you were so negative before.
Yeah.
I'm not being negative now. I'm just curious
negative.
As to what the name is. You spent like 35 minutes on this.
Being friendship negative, George, and I don't appreciate it.
I'm very friendship positive, okay?
All right, it's
then why are you repelling us with your mech?
I'm not repelling you. You guys are repelling me right now with your answer.
I think he wants in.
It's called Fine. We'll update the title.
It's called Fine. We'll update the title.
No.
I mean, it's a pretty good name.
It's called Friendship Positive.
Yeah. And George is there too, is the new title.
It's Friendship Positive, and George is
colon, there too. And George is there too.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like that my name's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like
I thought
attention.
You'd like that part.
I don't know if Friendship Positive is going to really stick out. I do like the name Fine, we'll change the name later. Or whatever you said earlier.
Actually, there's something really meta about that. I really enjoy.
Yes. It's like, you could put it on a T-shirt.
It's like calling it TBD or something.
Yeah.
Or TBA, yeah.
It'd be like you're in town because it's a double entendre.
Yeah.
What is you're in town? You're
it's a place
town
where
is
people
here.
Aren't allowed to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Or my house.
All right. The first song is from Friendship Positive, colon, and George is there too. is I got the results today.
No colons? Okay.
No, I got the
results. I got the results today. Colon. It's my colon.
Polyps?
I got the results today and they came back positive. Mm-hmm.
Tried to worry my fears away, but now I'm gonna live.
Wait, who's singing?
What point it's of view a duet.
Oh, you're both singing. You both got...
It's a split. It's
yeah,
happening
it's
at the same
split.
Time, but
so
it's
you both
separate.
Got,
yeah,
yeah,
we're both getting our results
those
in
results.
The mail. We're
okay.
opening
yeah.
the envelopes,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of tension.
So tell me the story before you give me the songs.
Because sure.
you know me. I'm all about the story.
Right.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So it's basically about these two people who have no friends.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, they struggle socially. They see people having friends and being friends. They don't know how it's possible.
And George is there, too.
George is there, too.
I like that part.
But it starts, you know, in two different worlds. We have his world. Mm. He has no friends.
I have no friends. I'm just like a little kid who wears a cummerbund. And he loves the cummerbund. Nobody else likes this specific cummerbund. And he's been chastised his entire life for wearing it.
Understandable, because that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, well...
Why does he wear the cummerbund?
He's hiding...
Delve into his psyche for a minute, please.
Well, he wears it because his grandfather wore the cummerbund in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And...
he served in Germany wearing that cummerbund.
Yeah, he was. His grandfather was a Nazi.
Oh well, no, he was on that side.
Yeah, it's well, that's the twist.
I do remember that story of the fanciest Nazi of them all.
Yeah,
that's a very interesting story
for Hitler
exactly.
and Germany.
I hear Nazis do well in musicals.
So he's wearing a cummerbund while getting results.
Well, yeah, yeah, basically.
Right.
Yeah, that's his arc. That's his main arc.
So what's he in what? His whole arc is getting results.
Well, he doesn't have the cummerbund until.
Was he the fixer? He just gets results.
Yeah,
you get it. Yeah. You get it. And then he meets another person who only wears bow ties.
Right, and my bow tie was passed down to me from my grandmother who died in the Holocaust wearing that bow tie.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then the power of friendship.
So the real meta narrative here is Nazi cummerbund versus Jewish bow tie.
No, not versus, coming together.
Right, to create
friendship positive.
A tuxedo. A true singular tuxedo. Disparate elements. Mm-hmm.
It's a real black
Cross
and white
time
issue.
And space and ideologies come together.
And then, so that covers like about the first 4 or 5 songs,
right?
And then, George
that's about
comes
40
in.
40 minutes,
yeah.
So you only do a song every 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. They're long songs too.
They're really actually it's 4 to 10 minute songs.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
you don't want to wear the audience out too much.
No.
And then George comes in with his big number. I don't like musicals.
Right.
Okay, so here's where I have an issue.
I don't see how you could have any issues with anything we've out.
Sounds great.
We've, you know, lined out so far.
What are they wearing?
What are they wearing?
Yeah.
We went other
over
than
this. Other than the cummerbund and the bow tie, are they just naked under this? Like, is it just like a some weird David Lynchian stage play where they're just like, I'm a cummerbund and I'm a bow tie?
We discussed that being an avenue because it represents the purity of just those singular objects. But we decided in the end that we'd get more audiences if they were wearing more clothes.
Yeah.
You know, I have to disagree with you there. In that I think you'd get way more audiences if your dongle was hanging out.
Well, we're also trying...
It's a story about friendship. Yeah. We think that might distract.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could also be a story about hogs.
Oh.
Pig boys.
Pig boys.
Story about pig boys.
Pig boys, pizza boys. Pizza boys, pig boys.
I think we did a really good little improv sesh there that we don't normally do on the show.
That
was not improv. We talked about that before the show.
True.
This is we all written.
We're doing a Kickstarter. Yeah. Please consider backing us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought you guys were doing a Patreon.
No.
Mm-hmm. Kickstarter.
Yeah, you don't want that monthly. It's a lot of work monthly.
No. Yeah, it's tough.
That was great.
We did.
I enjoyed every moment.
Well, that's our Sweeney Todd episode. I don't know. You guys got anything else you want to say about it before we close out?
Just I appreciate your open minds and even more your open hearts. Thanks, friends.
Absolutely, friendship positive. Thank you, friend. I would like to say that I enjoyed this movie and the musical. I'm gonna go back and watch the Tim Burton one and be disappointed, probably.
You can borrow it if you want.
Okay, I don't have a Blu-ray player, but...
Get your shit together, dude.
I'll just find it on... It's probably on Netflix.
Man.
Like
it's
got
probably online somewhere.
Yeah, it is probably on Netflix, honestly.
So, yeah, thank you for showing
us
that.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Angela Lansbury.
Angela Lansbury. Murder, She Sung.
Oh.
And I was waiting for that one.
Scene.
All right, we'll be back next week. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it as much as I like Sweeney Todd, which is to say I like it.
Cool.
It's more or less my aesthetic in all capital letters spaced out in between each letter.
Spooky.
Yes.
Spooks.
Yeah. Don't say that.
Yeah, only I'm allowed to say that.
I don't know that. I don't know what it references.
And look it up. Google it later.
No.
Don't do that. You will be on a list.
the good list in this country.
The American list.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
The Patriot list.
I said something bad.
Yes.
George says it all the time. It's okay.
I say it during Halloween times. That's it. And when I'm talking about you.
Spooky.
George doesn't like musicals or black people.
What?
Just to get it straight.
Oh, God.
That's why I don't like Hamilton.
Or Jews.
Oh. No, Hamilton's about white people. I don't know. I've never actually seen Hamilton. The only song I've heard is about 30 seconds of My Shot. So, but I like Sweeney Todd.
But to be
no
clear,
black
not black people.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I like it. I'm a fan. I think it's when it's tongue in cheek, it does it balances the right tone of being tongue in cheek and overly violent.
It really pushes your parsley.
You want to push me parsley? You must miss it. We'll go jig jig. We'll go
we'll split your muff.
Sorry. You don't remember that? All right.
All right, well, this was a hit for me. no, I honestly didn't.
Would you say that when you watch this movie that you love it?
Oh! Oh.
Oh, man. I'm probably going to get fired again.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Wow.
Damn it.
Devin.
That was rough.
Devin. We just did a solid 10-minute improv scene, and you had to go and ruin it.
Well,
I really liked it.
Thank you.
Great job, Devin.
Thanks. You really know what Pain Friendship Positive is all about, Lisa.
Thank you. George, that's why we wrote that play together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. It's a hit.
Yay.
That's all again. Devin, I'm assuming that's a hit for you, too.
Yes.
Lisa, thank you for coming on.
Yeah. My pleasure. Thank you. So much fun.
Is there anything you want to talk about or plug or anything like that real quick before we get going?
I'll just promote Improv in Cleveland. I know the Improv Deathmatch is coming up. I want to say the day I move away, August 16th. Aww. And you should check that
Gone
out at Mahal.
Forever.
It's sad. She's leaving us, Cleveland.
Yeah.
It was nice while we had you here.
Thank you.
You did hilarious things for the city.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
That's all I got.
You're leaving 3 days before my birthday also. So
I didn't realize. Way it was so personal for you, Devin.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Oh, George, don't throw it at my face.
It's whatever. It's you know. We'll
be pen pals.
It's not a big deal.
We can there's all kinds of conferencing apps we can use to work on Friendship Positive. Yeah. Colon George is there too.
George is there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do you have any other plugs? Sorry.
That's it.
Okay. Do I have any plugs? Do you have any plugs? I'm in a music video for my brother's band. go watch that. It's called Earworm by the band Old Souls.
It's a very good song.
Yeah, it's a great song. Those kids are doing real good. They're men now. They're old men.
Their album comes out, what, next week? Or how's that work?
Well, their album release show, it actually comes out digitally, like, tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Tomorrow of when...
Today, when we're this listening comes out.
To this. Yeah. And then it is releasing physically on August 14th at their record release show at the Mahal's Locker Room. So go check out that show. Heart and Lung is playing, too, and a couple New York City bands.
Nice.
Rad.
So, yeah.
Yeah. SecondShotPod@gmail.com. Second Shot Pod on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get in touch with us, yell at us for our improv, or if you want to be on the show or whatever you want to do, or just tell me how adorable I am, just email us or message us or whatever. Other than that, I don't think we have anything else. Listen to Pod Improvement. I do a home improvement podcast with former guest Ryan Jones. That's okay, we're just gonna go now.
Your razor high spinning, hear it singing, yes, sink it in the rosy skin of righteousness. His voice was soft, his manner mild.
He seldom laughed, but he often smiled.
He'd seen how civilized men behave. He never forgot.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer.
Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.